Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the preview show for this weekend's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship action. Six games to preview, six games to break down. Certainly a lot to discuss. Derry versus Donegal obviously stands out as the game of the weekend. McGuinness versus Hart. So much history, obviously, when those two managers have come up against each other in the past. And Derry-Donegal, massive rivals. So very much looking forward to previewing that one. Mayo and Roscommon, certainly a heated rivalry as well. That goes without saying. We'll be discussing that. Kerry and Cork, maybe the forgotten rivalry of the weekend, but those two are playing each other this weekend as well. And we will be previewing the other games in between as well. You've obviously got Tyrone playing Cavan, Galway versus Sligo, Waterford versus Clare, the three other games there as well. Joined by Seamus Brady from On Cliche. Seamus, how's things with yourself? I mean, the weekend gone, maybe not the best weekends of action and everything else, and I think that's been very well discussed by now, but this weekend, like, some decent games anyway. Derry, Donegal and Mayo, Roscommon, two games that really stand out.
Yeah, Ron, thanks for having me on again, Aaron. This weekend looks like it's going to be a belter. Last weekend was, yeah, you're right, like, one of the weirdest weekends, I think, of GAA action, that in my memory anyway, that you didn't know what to make out of it, that, like, Dublin on paper were coming out of a victory against, you know, one of our biggest rivals, and, like, historically, definitely not recently. But historically, we were coming out with a 16-point win and being like, not a great performance, lads. Like, and then the vibe around it wasn't one of a great performance. You had as well just a strange mix of games, especially the Down Antrim game was a weird one, definitely one to be forgotten. Apart, like, the only thing that was notable was there was someone in Antrim's background team that thought he was Rocky Balboa. Then, like, there was other games as well that were interesting. Kildare nearly, you know, had probably the biggest embarrassment of the last decade for them. And, like, they nearly threw the game away against the side that have got relegated to Division 4, which would have been serious inquest then into what is actually going on top of, you know, the 7 defeats out of 7 in the league. So, a very interesting weekend, very odd. This weekend looks like it'll be a little bit more straightforward. I think you're guaranteed that no matter what comes out of this game, Jim McGuinness, Mickey Hart, Donegal, Derry, I think you're going to guarantee fireworks with that one. Mayo Roscommon is always very interesting. Kerry and Cork is definitely better, in a better state than Dublin and Meath is in now. Like, Cork always up their game for Kerry, and they always give them a good lash, no matter, you know, what state Cork are in. Like, I distinctly remember Cork being in Division 3, yet still playing quite well against Kerry. Meath or the other, like, they roll over to Dublin. But Cork and Kerry should be a good game. I do expect Kerry to win, but it should be interesting. And then you've got Waterford 70 minutes away from the Sam Maguire Cup. I don't think they'll make it, but Waterford 70 minutes away from Sam Maguire football, which would be absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of the stories of the year if it did come to fruition. But yeah, we'll start with Derry against Donegal in Celtic Park. Certainly, I think in terms of championship games so far in the football championship, I think this is the game that really sort of, I think when the draw was made, I think everybody very much looked at this fixture and thought, when is that on? Because I need to watch it, you know, that way. And yeah. Look, it mightn't be maybe the most exciting game of football in the world. Like, it'll be interesting to see how Jim McGuinness approaches this game as Donegal manager. Like, you don't really hear much about Donegal. They've been, like, I think Jim McGuinness is, you know, all the talk about media bans and everything else, that there is a lot of unknowns about them. In Division 2, they sort of went about their business very quietly. They probably were very attacking at the best of times, but I think that was also got to do with the opposition of teams that they were playing. So this is going to be interesting. What type of game plan does Jim McGuinness bring, and how do Derry act on that? It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be very interesting. I think, like, when it was announced that this was the game, I actually thought, I think this is the one game that Derry can actually be caught in Ulster. So a big 2 months break from Monaghan, and have to supplement my intake by watching the under-20s playing Armagh right now. Yeah, of course, the under-20 championship is on. Like, that's a brilliant competition to watch as well in its own right. Some stars for the future to watch there. Like, look, the reality is that going into this game, you've got the Division 1 champions against the Division 2 champions. And you've got to understand why this game is so big, you have to look at the dynamic between Jim McGuinness and Mickey Hart. Like, when Jim McGuinness came onto the scene with Donegal in 2011, was his first year with them, like, the first team that he wanted to take down was Mickey Hart's Tyrone. And like, if you read his book, Until Victory Always, if you watch the documentary, Jimmy's Winning Matches, it's all about Mickey Hart and it's all about that Tyrone team. That Tyrone team that had won three All-Irelands in 03, 05 and 08. And that had won actually back-to-back Ulsters conveniently in 2009 and 2010. And they were the kingpins. They were the ultimate kingpins of Ulster. And actually the 2010 Ulster Championship, we talk about the Ulster Championship being the bastion of the provincial system, and it is. But in 2010, the Ulster Championship was crap. Everybody rolled over to Tyrone. Nobody gave them a challenge. They played Monaghan in the Ulster final and they rolled them over with ease. And if you watch Chase and Sam, which is a documentary about the 2010 Championship, it's brilliant. Like, Leinster was far more exciting than Ulster back in 2010, which is a crazy stat. Connacht, Sligo were looking like they were going to be Connacht champions and then they ended up losing to Roscommon. Like, how times have changed. But back to the point, Tyrone were undisputed kings of Ulster. And Jim McGuinness, the first thing he wanted to convince his players of was that they could beat Mickey Hart's Tyrone, that they could be Ulster champions. And that's what's interesting now, is that we have a similar dynamic here in that Derry have won back-to-back Ulsters. Yeah, Mickey Hart wasn't manager for either, but they very much have carried that momentum on under him. They're the current league champions. They seem like this unstoppable juggernaut, especially in Ulster. And Donegal now with a fresh manager in like Jim McGuinness. And who does he have the target on? Only Mickey Hart. So one of the reasons why this rivalry is so impressionable, definitely on the fans, and why it's captured so much of our imagination is because we've been here before. And the question is, can it happen again? Because Jim did turn Mickey Hart over in 2011 with Donegal. Donegal hit them with a late burst, got the goal, got the winner. And then everybody was saying, you know, that was the win that really turned it for Donegal. That was the win where they were like, oh, something's clicking here. Something's working here. We're really onto something now. And the rest is history. All-Ireland champions by the end of 2012, back-to-back Ulsters. So for Jim, if Donegal can beat Derry, like, the levels of confidence that that will give them will be unmatched, especially considering the momentum that Derry are carrying and how much they put into the league final. It'll be interesting to see, like, how fit the lads actually are. I know that they've had 3 weeks rest. You know, they should be in good nick. Donegal, it didn't feel like the league final took as much out of them as it did, as the Division 1 one took out of Derry, certainly not. And so this one is really interesting. Do you know, like, the honest truth is, going into this game, I'm like, if you're saying, okay, Shay, put your life on it, I'm saying Derry. If you're saying put a bet on it, might be tempted to go for Donegal. It's a real banana skin.
It really is, yeah. Like, and Keen says here, Donegal to overcome Derry by a point or two and to march on in Ulster while the Rossies to beat Mayo and reach the Connacht final. Playing in Dr. Hyde Park will be a plus for Roscommon too. Yeah, we'll certainly get onto that in a moment. Farney Fan TV says Derry 2-13, Donegal 1-12. Kieran says Jimmy ain't winning this match, perhaps a year too soon, but it will be close, I'd imagine. Have a sneaky feeling about Donegal this year. Upset incoming. Derry 1-14, Donegal 2-12. Is this Derry's toughest challenge, do you think, in the Ulster Championship? Like, you've obviously got Tyrone on the other side, Tyrone and Cavan on the other side awaiting in the semi-finals. But Tyrone have obviously struggled at the best of times this year, very inconsistent. You've got Armagh, but again, like, Armagh were beaten by Donegal only a couple of weeks ago. Are Donegal Derry's closest challengers in Ulster? Could this be Derry's toughest test potentially?
I think so. I think Tyrone are right now, Tyrone are very much in an early stage of rebuilding. Like, their team against Derry was a team of kids, like team of lads that are onto the panel for their first year of action in the Tyrone team. Players like Ben Cullen, players like Niall Devlin. That is their first run in the Tyrone team. And I was shocked at how many senior players are missing in that game. I was like, it's a local derby. It's like an absolutely huge game because you got Mickey Hart playing against Tyrone, something that we never thought we'd see, especially not with the Derry manager's hat on. And yet Tyrone seemed like they just rolled over in that game. I mean, the late goal from Conor Glass, it was like, what is going on here? Tyrone just seemed to have no fight in them, which is something that I never thought would be the case in that game, because usually they were the team that outgrit and outfought everybody else. So it's very interesting to watch that dynamic. I don't think Tyrone can beat Derry this year. I think there's something about it for Donegal that just, for me, it just, something's lining up where I'm like, I think this is on. Do you ever get a feeling that, like, you just think, like, even Wicklow Kildare, and I know that Wicklow didn't beat them, but going into that game, you just got a sense like, this is on. There's an upset on here, and it was on. That game, I don't care what anyone says, I seen your TikTok, Wicklow left that behind them. That game was right there for the taking. And it's just sometimes you can tell if it's on. I think this is on. I really, really do. Like, I think that Donegal will be right there with them. I would be very surprised if Derry beat the brakes off Donegal. Because, like, only once have we ever seen Donegal get annihilated, and that was against Mayo in 2013 in the All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Yeah, especially under McGuinness, it very rarely happens, in fairness. Like, especially with how well defensively his team is set up, in fairness. But, yeah,
you have to consider, though, man, is Mike Brearty. How fit is he?
Yeah, I think he might be missing. Like Farney Fan TV says here, lack of all the reliable players for Donegal will be their downfall in this game. No, McBrearty is a mega loss. Yeah, like, I haven't heard McBrearty's not playing, but I haven't heard he is playing either. So we don't really know, to be honest.
Even them in the league final.
Might be on the bench, but even at that, you know.
Yeah, and then in the league final, they had no Owen Von Gallagher, and they had no, there was someone else missing. I think it wasn't Morgan. He was there. Ryan McHugh, was it?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Ryan McHugh. Yeah, I remember there were two others that were missing, because I remember on the preview for TG Carr, they were only talking about McBrearty, and I was like, McHugh's missing. Like, Owen Von Gallagher's missing. Like, they're two huge players, especially in terms of, they're massive for Jim. What is Jim's ultimate best weapon, which is fast movement. Like, Von Gallagher's pace is insane, and then McHugh is such a crafty operator. That, like, those two players, you know that when McGuinness came back, Owen Von Gallagher and Ryan McHugh would have been very important to how he wanted to set up. Darrow Boyle also wasn't there in that league final. What's his fitness level like? Is he available for this game? Because he was really impressive in Jim's first few games as Donegal boss. He looked like he was going to be a player that would shine. So what state Donegal are coming into this game in is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, maybe the last thing before we give a prediction on this game, like, it kind of, like, this rivalry almost has done a full 180 in many ways. Like, you think about it, Donegal for years were the favourites against Derry for large parts. And probably when Jim McGuinness was back in charge as well. Like, funny enough, his first Ulster final win was actually against Derry. And Donegal were actually, both sides were going in on a bit of an Ulster drought, but Donegal were going in as slight favourites. So, like, with Derry having looked as good as they did in the league, beating Dublin, like, you feel like there's no pressure really on Donegal, and all the pressure really here is on Derry, because, like, if let's say Donegal get beat, unless they get hammered, but let's say they get beat by 2, 3, 4 points, a lot of people will say, well, Derry are one of the best teams in the country, they're expected to win. So, in many ways, like, there is pressure on Derry, there's a lot of pressure on them here, and I think that suits Donegal, that suits Jim McGuinness's sort of template, in the sense that, you know, he can get, like, if he's going to go full blanket defence and get a lot of men behind the ball and, you know, make life as difficult as possible for Derry, I think everybody would understand it, given how good Derry have looked this year.
Well, that's a great point that you make as well, because it's one tactic that I think he has used in the past. I think he used that tactic in 2011 against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final on top of the blanket defence. I think he was also thinking, this team is under such pressure to get to an All-Ireland final, that if we park the bus, make it as difficult as possible for them, and give this overwhelming sense that it's happening again, it's falling apart, Dublin aren't going to make it to the All-Ireland final, they've absolutely bottled it. But that Dublin team under Gilroy did have the mental resolve and did have the steel to break the dam and get through and beat Donegal in that All-Ireland semi-final. But it was a tactic that definitely worked. And there were stages where, you know, Colin McFadden, do you remember that shot that he took just after the second half started and it went over the bar? If that had gone into the net, I don't think we're coming back from that, man. And maybe the next decade looks at very, very different to how it ended up unfolding. Like, it's tiny little moments like that. And in this game, Derry have a lot of pressure on them. And especially after the league, a lot of people will say, you know, well, that's it. Derry are definitely going to go and win the All-Ireland now. And I think that's actually why they didn't celebrate the league. I thought it was a very kind of cold moment from Derry to very much shake Dublin's hand in a way to be like, this isn't the one that we want. Cool, we'll pick it up on the way, but we're coming for the All-Ireland. I think that's why they didn't over-celebrate it. Like, you saw when Mayo beat Dublin in 2021 and acted like they'd won the All-Ireland final. And Tyrone were just waiting for them in the final. I think Derry were very much being like, no, no, we will see you again. And when we beat you in the All-Ireland, then we'll celebrate. Because you looked at how Glass went up, lifted the trophy, and then they brought the trophy down. The minute Dublin missed the last penalty, Derry just shook hands with them. Good game, lads. Well done. See you in the future. It was very much one of those moments. I think that was a very calculated decision by Mickey Hart and by the senior players in Derry to slow down the hype. Because think about it, if they'd lost their rag after winning that and been like, you know, posing for team photos left, right and centre and posting it everywhere, the hype that is already behind them would have gone to a whole other level. And the pressure going into this game would have hit a whole other level and they would have been expected to blow Donegal away. You talk about Pat Gilroy, Jim Gavin. One of the key things they always wanted to do with Dublin was keep the hype down. Don't, like, remember the five in a row? 2019, up to the All-Ireland final. And they would just not address it. Like, five in a row, nah, not talking about that. That hype is a dangerous thing. And for Derry, they cannot let the hype get too much because Donegal are going to be very tricky. And as you said, Donegal have nothing to lose. And like, if Donegal get out of this with a 2-point defeat, nobody's going to bash them on social media and say, oh, like, actually, people will probably look at Derry and say, oh, they only beat Donegal by 2 points.
Yeah.
Like, are they really going to beat Dublin and Kerry? Because people expect so much from Derry now. That if I was Donegal, I'd be talking a lot. I'd be saying, oh, I thought yous were the best team in Ireland. How come we're still in the game? How come we're still level with you with 10 minutes to go? I thought yous were going to win the All-Ireland. How come we're ahead? Like, things like this, that they haven't actually won the All-Ireland yet. They're not the finished article. And somewhere along the line, they've been running for so long. Like, literally from match day one of the Allianz League, they've been going 110%. There's bound to be a slip up somewhere. And my thing is that if they slip up here, Donegal, I think, will be waiting to catch them. I think this is a dangerous, dangerous game for Derry.
What do you think in prediction wise then? Do you think Derry would be here, or what do you reckon?
That's what's funny. As much as I think it's a dangerous game for Derry, I still think that they are going to win. I've been very impressed with them. And like, throughout a fantastic league campaign, they have also added to their squad. Cormac Murphy's come in, he's looked amazing. Dermot Baker has come in at the defence, looked like he's been there his whole life. Conor Glass and, you know, Garrett McInnes, Shane McGuigan, Brendan Rodgers, Chrissy McCaig, they all look amazing. Conor McCluskey looks in the form of his life as well, always bombing forward from the defence. Like, there is just an unbelievable amount of talent in this Derry squad. Jim McGuinness will hit them so hard. Like, there's no doubt about it. Jim will go for this game with Donegal. He will want to beat Mickey Hart because Mickey seems to be the manager that he likes to get one over on the most. You know, you can see that in how he set up his Donegal teams to play against Tyrone. But if I was pushed, pick one, I will go with Derry. I think Donegal missing McBrearty is massive. I think then we're not sure how fit McHugh is. We're not sure how fit Owen Bon Gallagher is. We don't know if Darrell Beale is going to be in this game. And just those absentees, I think, will be enough to pull Donegal back a bit. And I think Derry will get the win.
There we go, yeah. Kieran says David McGrew and Michael McGleenan rumoured to have left the Tyrone panel. The mass exodus continues. Yeah, that's interesting. All right. Aaron says, I think Derry will win by 2 points. Yeah, I think I'll go with Derry just about to get over the line. I do have a feeling, though, this game will be in the melting pot going into the final couple of minutes. And we spoke about that Kildare and Wicklow game. Do you know, like, I don't think it will be to the same extent, obviously, like missing open goal chances and everything in the final couple of minutes. But I think Donegal might have a couple of moments where we look back and think they could have won this. But I think Derry will still just about have that edge. But I do think it'll be very, very close indeed, in fairness. Cavan Tyrone is obviously the next one at Breffni Park. I suppose, as Kieran was saying there, a few more players rumoured to have leaving the Tyrone panel, which does seem to be continuously happening. But could you see Cavan getting anything from this? Like, they obviously beat Monaghan. They upset the odds a little bit there. Tyrone, as every Tyrone fan is, or most Tyrone fans have told me since the Dublin game, you know, the league didn't matter, the championship matter. So, you know, looking at that logic, Tyrone are going to come out flying out of blocks.
You'd hope so, because this is a dangerous game for Tyrone. I really think so. This is another one that, remember what I was saying earlier about Donegal Derry, that like you just get a sense this is on. I think Cavan will have that mindset about this game. I think Cavan will sit there and think, do you know what? I think this is on. I think Tyrone are there for the taking. When you look at how inconsistent Tyrone were in their league campaign, like for every performance like the Mayo one where they got a great victory, you know, for every performance like the Roscommon one where they got a vital victory, there was a performance like Dublin where they were awful, and there was a performance like Derry where they just didn't turn up. So they have to hit the ground running against Cavan, because if Cavan get a good quarter under their belt, I think Cavan will kick on. Like I really think this is dangerous for Tyrone. Like, you have Dara Canavan at one end, who is in the form of his life and right now is arguably the best forward right now around. He's literally unbelievable. And I think if you were to make an Ireland team, I think he has to be in it right now. Like, he's just so hard to handle, so hard to get a grip on. But Cavan very much have a system worked out. And they beat Monaghan, who beat Tyrone last year. So why on earth can't Cavan go and beat Tyrone? Mm-hmm. Cavan beating Monaghan last week will give them huge confidence, sorry, because they haven't done great against Ulster teams over the last couple of seasons. And Raymond Gallagher coming in as boss, like, getting that victory under their belt will be massive. The only thing that you could look at from a Cavan perspective is slightly worrying is, especially in the first half, they were so reliant on Paddy Lynch. It was literally, if he has an off day, Cavan are in the bin. There's no way Cavan are going to win this game if Paddy Lynch has a bad game. A lot rests on his shoulders, but he is in fantastic form, which is something that is very good news for the Breffni men. It's a dangerous one. I think I'd probably still go Tyrone, but again, it's one of those, if they don't show up 8 out of 10, Cavan are taking them out.
Yeah, Farney Fan TV says Tyrone win after extra time. Tyrone will bottle it a few times, but will stumble over the line in the end. Macy says here, Tyrone are a funny side. They should win on paper, but a good Cavan performance could see Tyrone fall apart. And Gaelic Guy says two Ulster upsets, Cavan 3-9, Tyrone 1-13. Yeah, like, one game that stands out to me is Tyrone Westmeath last year, where the game obviously finishes as a draw in the final game in the group stages. And you would look at it and think Tyrone, like, Cavan and Westmeath have been at a very similar level for numerous years. So, like, Cavan can take a lot of confidence from that, in fairness. And given Tyrone's inconsistency, Cavan do have a chance. I do agree with you. Like, I think Tyrone will still have enough to come through. I think they have the players to do it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But it just is that way of Tyrone right now, where they are so inconsistent. You don't know what version of Tyrone is going to turn up. Nobody's doubting Tyrone's ability. I think it's just the fact that they're so inconsistent at the best of times.
They are. They're so inconsistent. And, like, because when you look at it, like, coming to Croke Park to play Dublin, I still would have never thought Dublin would have beaten them by that much. And you have to ask, like, how on earth has that been allowed to happen? Like, I don't care if it's the final round of the league. You know, you don't go out like that. You're, like, conceding 5-18 to 12 points is shocking. And their inconsistencies are there to be pondered, because, like, last year they beat Donegal and looked awesome doing it, and then turned up against Kerry and, sorry, didn't turn up at all against Kerry. Westmeath should have beaten them, and then they've had amazing performances. So it's really, really confusing. But yeah, I think that they have enough talent left to get the victory over Cavan. But I think if they don't, serious questions need to be asked, because as that comment said, McLean and David Mulgrew are two cracking footballers, and the way that they've dropped off, the way that so many other players have dropped off, It's hit. Basically, what Tyrone had was like, almost an icing on the cake team when they won the All-Ireland. And it's like they've had the cake taken away from underneath them. It's like they have had What made that team so good and what makes every team so good is competition for places. What made Toronto so good in 2021 was the competition for places. You had literally Tierney McCann, Ronan O'Neill, David Mulgrew, Lee Brennan, Conor McKenna, Paul Donaghy, all like at the heels of the lads that were starting. You had Darragh Canavan coming into the side then, back then as well. And the truth is once those lads left, once your David Mulgrew is left, Niall Sludden's left, now all of a sudden Brian Duher is in a position where if Conor Myler has a bad game or if Kieran McGeary has a bad game, he has to play him because he doesn't have the same backup that he used to have. Players that were ready to step into the position and take it aren't there anymore because players like Paul Donaghy and players like Conor McKenna weren't getting enough game time. So they're like, right, I'm off. I'm not sticking around to be a bench warmer here. Like, what's the point? And the reality is teams have struggled to do that. But you look at like teams like Limerick in the hurling. You look at teams like Dublin in the football in the 2010s. They were able to keep players on board who weren't starting games. And that does make the difference. And for Tyrone, it made a huge difference in them winning the All-Ireland in 2021. And the fact that they've lost that is, in my opinion, why they've fallen down. Because now they're in a position where if one of their main men has a bad game, they have to keep playing them consistently because they don't have the same options that they had before.
Yeah, Sam says here, the league is pure codology, man. Look what Wicklow did in the league. Tyrone, the same. They were mints in the league as well. Tyrone will blow Cavan out of the water. Kieran says, a stark statistic. We haven't beaten Tyrone in the championship since 1983. And that was the last time Cavan played them in a home fixture. So there we go. Max says Killian Brady, I think, can handle Darragh Canavan. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah. Farney Fan TV says Tyrone 2021 All Ireland victory was their apocalypse. What are you thinking then in terms of a margin of victory? Like, how close do you think it will be?
Tyrone by two. That's what I'm thinking. I think tight. They get the win.
Yeah, I think I'd go with that as well. In fairness, moving across to the games in the West, Roscommon versus Mayo, I suppose is always fierce. There's certainly no love lost when it comes to Roscommon and Mayo down the years. Obviously, Roscommon beat Mayo in the championship last year. Mayo got their revenge, obviously, in the league earlier in the year. Interesting enough, like Mayo seems to have a much better record at the Hoyd down the years, and Roscommon tend to have a much better record at McHale Park. Like, it seems to be a little bit strange. Like, in recent years, Mayo always tend to be Roscommon away from home, but Roscommon always tend to be Mayo away from home. Like, both of these two actually tend to struggle when they're at home. But Mayo are obviously going in as favourites, but we know what happened last year when Mayo went in as favourites. Can the Rossies do it? They do have home advantage.
I think Roscommon might well do it because you look at someone like Davy Burke, right? And the one thing that came across in a lot of his interviews was he does have a chip on his shoulder when it comes to proving people wrong, and especially about Roscommon. Like, you, I mean, the amount, like, he'd come out and he'd be like, oh, we've done 65 training sessions. Like, you can tell he really wants to prove how serious they're taking it, how good this team can be, how competitive this team can be. So I really think that relegation from Division 1 would have hurt Roscommon. Like, I really think that. I think that would have really hurt them, and it really would have hurt Davy Burke as well. So I think he's going to get his players pumped up to the absolute max to try and get them ready for this game because I think, like, you look at how much it would have hurt them to get relegated from Division 1 because, again, it was like Roscommon had been in that cycle of going up, going back down, going up, going back down, and he looked like he might be able to break the chain by keeping them up that one year, and then they slip back down eventually. If he had to put this year as, you know, back-to-back Division 1, they stay up again, then you would have been thinking, like, all right, Roscommon putting a bit of a run together in Division 1 now, but they slipped under, and I think he'll be desperate for a bite back. He'll be desperate for an answer from his players, and there's no better answer than beating Mayo in the Hyde.
Yeah, Tom says, I think Mayo should have enough for this, but it won't be pretty. And Gaelic Guy says, Mayo will annihilate Roscommon. They've been a shambles all year. Roscommon 10, Mayo 116, Roscommon 111, Mayo 116, says Farney Fan TV. There were some interesting comments earlier about Roscommon. Actually, Gavin was saying here, Roscommon under 20, hammered Leitrim, Connacht final spot secured. Also, the big dogs survive to a semi slot as the Sligo under 20s knocked out Mayo. Yeah, Sligo beat Mayo 14-9 in the Connacht under 20 championship. So fair play. The Sligo under 20 fairy tale continues as it has over the last couple of years. So fair play to both of them. Like you would fancy Mayo all right, but Mayo have a weird record in Connacht. Like they've only won two Connacht titles since 2015. And like I don't know what it is about Mayo, but they seem, I know obviously they didn't get to the league final this year, but they seem to always do quite well in the league. Then they seem to take a break in Connacht, and then they go hammer and tongs to try and do something in the All-Ireland series. So you just never know what Mayo is going to turn up in Connacht. Like the only two times they've actually won Connacht since 2015 was the two COVID years. Do you know what I mean? So it's been a little bit unusual, Mayo and Connacht.
Certainly has. And like I think if one thing summed them up, I think it was last year where they won the league and then lost to Roscommon immediately after. Like, the people were saying, God, Mayo are different this year, man. Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland. You said that. Yeah, and then they lost to Roscommon. And look, don't get me wrong, like, there was a good reason to be on the hype train. Like, Mayo had looked great in that league final. Like, they really, really had. The former players, like Ryan O'Donoghue, the former players, like Matthew Ruan, was absolutely extraordinary. And you know, they beat Galway in that final and were the better team on the day. And then, you know, you're going in thinking, well, surely they're going to win Connacht. And Roscommon were just waiting for them. Roscommon were just like, we're chilling right here and we're waiting for you. And they caught them in the long grass. And this is what I'm talking about, is that this year Mayo seemed to not really want to win the league. That's kind of the vibe that I got. It felt like McStay had kind of learned his lesson from last year. And if he has learned his lesson from last year, then Mayo will win this game. So I will lean to Mayo.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'll go with Mayo ever so slightly. In terms of a margin of victory, what are you thinking?
I'll say 5 points. I think they'll get a goal that would put them relatively comfortable early on, and then they might kick on at the end.
Yeah, I think I'll go three or 4 points, I think. Again, as you said, like Roscommon just haven't looked all right all year. And I know, as we said before, the league sometimes can't be a barometer. But Roscommon, in my opinion, like their focus should have been or would have been to stay up in the league. They weren't able to achieve that. But look, we saw what happened last year when Roscommon went in as underdogs. In fairness, Macy says Mayo to blow Roscommon into the middle of next week. Something funny happening in the Rossi camp. Can't see them winning this. Mayo 3-14, Roscommon 18 points. Max says, I can't see Roscommon stopping Fergal Boland and Ryan O'Donoghue. Kieran says Mayo v Roscommon, Dr. Jekyll v Mr. Hyde. Gavin says, weirdly, it happened again last year. Roscommon sadly only beat Mayo when Mayo win the league, but Monaghan went down, so voodoos eventually break, so you never know. Yeah, look, you do never know. And look, I'm sure Davey Burke, we remember his interview last year at full time when he said, nobody gave us a chance, everybody doubted us, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure he'll be, you know, that same speech will be given to them Roscommon lads in the build up to this game. Absolutely no doubt about that. Sligo and Galway is the other game. As we were saying before, the Sligo under 20s seem to be going very well. You couldn't imagine to be any of them involved in this game. I don't think any of them can be involved anyway. But Galway, look, would be favourites. I think it's one of them where we all fancy Galway to win. Sligo probably have been closing the gap on Galway and, you know, Mayo ever so slightly. Like, they have been improving. There's been no doubt about that. They beat Westmead recently. Can Sligo, you know, and Westmead have been fairly competitive with the likes of Galway and whatnot in recent seasons. Like, do Sligo have any chance here?
I don't think so. I'm not trying to sound like mean. I just think if you look at Galway beat them last year in the Connacht final, have they closed the gap that much in a year? I don't think so. But are they getting better? Absolutely. They are getting better. And you look at players that have come into the side, like the injection of Canis Mulligan and other players that have come in that are, you know, young, full of energy, full of, you know, determination as well. And like, I think when you look at the attitude of these lads, like Canis Mulligan pretty much sums it up. And I actually agree. with Gaelic guy there. I don't think it will be a battering, but I think Galway will win. I think it will be something along the line that Galway win by about 7 points, 8 points. But I think Sligo might actually make it difficult for them at a certain stage. I don't see it being a 20-something point battering like it was last year. Because Galway have been worse this stage this year than they were this time last year. Like, we've had no sign of Shane Walsh for a while now, no sign of Damien Comer. And it's very difficult to know where they're at. No sign of Killian McDade. Peter Cook's taking the year off. So, like, they're not as good a team as they were this time last year. That goes without saying. And Sligo are better. So it will be closer, but I still think Galway will have too much for them. Galway, like, I think Matthew was saying this, that, like, Galway are forced to be developing a panel. Like, they're forced to be using players that they've never used before. And then you see even Tom O'Callaghan coming on against London, looking great for a few minutes and then getting injured and going off. Like, and you know, Parry Joyce must have been ready to absolutely punch the wall, like, after seeing Callaghan go down injured. Because there's another one gone, like another one bites the dust, another injury. And in this game, I think if Galway get through this game with a 5-point victory without any injuries, I think Joyce would be taking that to the bank.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the main thing, especially going into a Connacht final. Keane here reckons Sligo will beat Galway. Sligo to beat Galway, Markovic Park will be rocking on Saturday. Yeah, fair play. I've no ties to Galway or Sligo, but look, I love an upset in Gaelic games. You know, you don't get too many of them. In fairness, and I know Dublin probably have a strong reason for that, but. It'd be great to see Sligo go and get the job done. Come on, the Yates County also says Keane there. Yeah, absolutely. Kieran says Galway's come away with a comfortable win and a few more injuries. Yeah, probably will be the case. And Gavin says Enda from our ref was saying Shane Walsh was training again for Galway. If he's there, comfortable win for Galway. But if he's not, it could be tight. Yeah, look, I could see this being like 5 or 6. Like, I think Galway will be comfortable, especially with how they play as well. Like, they're usually very well set up, very well organised defensively. They don't concede too much when you look through their games in the league. So I could see this being like an 18-13 or like a 16-10 point victory or something of that nature. Like, I think Galway probably come through up by 5 or 6 in the end.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it would be something that they'll miss a lot of chances. Sligo will make it difficult for them. I think at half time it will be relatively tight. Then Galway will just kind of manage it out. I'd say Galway by about 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. Then in Munster, Kerry versus Cork is the big one to discuss here. Obviously, huge historic rivalry down the years between Kerry and Cork, but much like Dublin and Meath, it's probably a rivalry that has been very one-sided over the last 10, 15 years or so. Maybe the difference, though, is that Cork do always tend to give Kerry a good run for their money. And as you were saying earlier, you think back to 2020, Cork were Division 3 champions, and Kerry were obviously bidden to win the All-Ireland. They just won the league, and Cork came there and beat them. And obviously, COVID was a mad year and everything else. There were so many shocks and surprises that happened. 2019 as well, Cork very competitive against Kerry last year in the group stages. That was a very, very close game as well. So, look, Kerry are massive favourites and they probably should win by 10 plus or at least 8 or 9. But Cork just have this thing playing better teams, like beating Roscommon, beating Mayo last year. They do seem to have this thing where they raise their game playing better sides. So, Kerry should win, but it mightn't be a foregone conclusion as people might think.
They've set themselves up to be like that, Cork, like for a few years now. Like, I was saying this to Matthew on his show, like I think Cork are set up as this team that are very good at sitting in, especially against the favourites, and being like, right, you come get us. And we're going to sit back, absorb the pressure, hit you on the counter a few times, and it's going to be a fight of a game. And that's why Cork find it hard, in my opinion, when a team does the same thing to them. Because Cork usually go with the same starting 15 against, say, a Westmeath or something. And if they're willing to sit back and be like, okay, you're the favourites, come get us, Cork don't really know what to do. Because they don't really have, like, players that are very creative, like Blake Murphy, have left the panel because they're not getting enough game time, because this is the way that Cork have, you know, gone down. they've gone down that we want to be competitive against the big teams route. So creativity isn't really, there's not really a high priority put on that. It's, you know, players that are willing to dig the heels in and work hard and make it a scrap of the game against these teams. And Kerry, like, they've done that really well against Kerry, I find out a lot. Like, last year, that penalty was ridiculous that was given for David Clifford. And if that penalty wasn't given, there's an argument that Cork could have won that game. And then you think back to 2020 when Cork did beat Kerry. That again, that was a similar game where Cork dug their heels in, made it a scrap. The conditions definitely helped them that night. And Cork smashed and grabbed, but got the win. And Kerry were there for the taking that night. Kerry have had some, you know, glorious days. 2021, they really put it to bed. They buried Cork in that game. So they do have that in the locker. But I think Cork will put it up to them again. I think there's a lot of pride involved here. I think Cork will not want to lose this in a heavy fashion. I'd say Kerry by 7 if I was to pick. I think Kerry might put the burners on in the last quarter. But I think Cork will definitely make the first half very difficult.
Yeah, Gaelic Eye says Kerry 19, Cork 113. Not impossible. Remember last year, took a penalty for Kerry to beat Cork last year. And Gavin says Brian Hurley isn't getting any younger. 2012, last title in Munster for Cork. They seriously need to win, considering they should have bet Kerry last year as well. Do you think that's the thing, though? Like, the fact that Kerry and Cork was so close last year, and the fact that Kerry nearly did lose that game against Cork, like, you think Jack O'Connor and Kerry, like, surely they can't let this happen again, because it does seem to be a running team. Every couple of years, there's a close shave or there's a win for Cork. So you get the feeling that Kerry, surely, and Jack O'Connor, like, they'll want to come flying out of traps and really put to bed any chance of an upset in this.
Because you have to remember as well, like, Dublin absolutely battered Kerry in the league. I know that people would be like, well, what does that have to do with it? It does, trust me. Jack O'Connor at the end of that game was livid, you'd imagine. Like, losing to your biggest rivals in Croke Park by that much. And the reality is how that relates to this is now championships kicking off. And you better believe that Kerry's goal is to win the All-Ireland. You have to start with intent. You have to send out a signal that we're not playing around here. And if they batter Cork in this game, it does send out a statement that we're coming for the All-Ireland. And I think Kerry will go to do that. I think that they will win by 7, which is why I picked that. I think Cork will make it difficult for them, but I think Kerry might have a flashy and impressive third quarter or something and then manage it out from there. So I'm saying Kerry by 7.
Yeah, I think so as well. I'd go with Kerry by 7 points. I think they should have enough to get over the line. And then last but not least, Waterford versus Clare. As we were saying before, Waterford with the historic chance to put themselves into the All-Ireland series, which would be absolutely wild. But in all seriousness, Waterford beating Tipperary was a surprise in some ways. But at the same time, Waterford and Tipperary were both down near the bottom of Division 4. We're talking about Clare nearly got out of Division 3. I know they've lost a lot of players and everything else, but surely Clare win, and they should probably win quite comfortably as well, if we're being honest.
They should. They should, but it's like hope, man. Literally hope. That's what Waterford are coming into this game. I think we're coming into this game being like, could you imagine if Waterford, the team that have finished bottom of the Allianz Leagues, like literally rock bottom without a win, make it into the Sam Maguire Cup? Could you imagine the scenes?
imagine Waterford Dublin and Croke Park.
Waterford Dublin and Croke Park. You think Meath Dublin and Croke Park was bad?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, that game would be played in Croke Park. You don't know it. You wouldn't play it down. Trip to Waterford would be lovely.
It would be good, yeah. It'd be good crack.
Very rare. Waterford, really. But yeah, in this game, I would be stunned if Waterford get within 5 points of Clare. I think Clare are still moving at a higher level than Waterford. And look, the reality is Tip are right down there with them, as you said. Like, I wasn't stunned, actually, that, you know, Waterford won that game. It wasn't something that absolutely shocked me. It was definitely, like, a bit of a surprise. But it wasn't, like, what the... Like, it was very much like, oh, wow, okay, good win. But it was nowhere near the level of like when Carlow beat Kildare or when Cork beat Kerry in 2020. That was like a result that you never saw coming. Like, there was definitely a vibe again that like this upset was on for Waterford, and they took it. This game here, on paper, yeah, Clare are missing 11 players that were key players last year. They're missing their long manager, Colm Collins. It's a new manager in Mark Fitzgerald, and it's a very new team in, but it's a very new Clare team that should have got promoted out of Division 3. The only thing that stopped them was that goal decision against Westmeath. Apart from that, they were great, apart from the down game, sorry. And yeah, so like they've definitely done very, very well to cope with the absentees. I'd say Clare by about 10, if I had to go brutally honest.
Yeah, I think so as well, in fairness. Gaelic Ice is Waterford 8 points, Clare 2-12. Sorry, it isn't happening. And Farney Fan TV says Waterford 2-11, Clare 16. The upset is on the cards. There you go. There you go.
More of Tom O'Connell doing the celebration.
Jesus, yeah. I think there'd be a bank holiday in Waterford, I think, if they manage to put, imagine they beat Clare and then they beat Cork in the hurling as well.
Jesus, imagine if the footballers last longer than the hurlers. Imagine if Davey Fitz as early as getting knocked out once there, and the footballers still have to play the group stage of the All-Ireland.
That's crazy.
That would be insane.
That would be. Yeah. Gavin says only two wins and Sam McGuire status over down in Westmeath and Clare would be insane for Waterford. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it would be quite crazy if Waterford managed to pull it off. So yeah, look, that wraps up the games in terms of player of the week and bet of the week. What would you go for?
Like with bet of the week, are you talking underdog bet?
Yeah, or anything. I mean, like a lot of the, like I'd take Donegal beating Derry. Like that's probably a bit of an upset.
Yeah, I think there's a few that you could go for. I think Donegal beating Derry is right there. Cavan beating Tyrone is a very good shout. I think Roscommon beating Mayo is actually a decent bet. I'll go with which one out of them do I think is the most likely? Cavan beating Tyrone, I'd say. And then player of the week, I think if that was to happen, we'll go with that. We'll say that does happen. Paddy Lynch.
Yeah, no, I could see that, to be fair. If Cavan were to beat Tyrone, I think Paddy Lynch would need to have an absolute stormer. Yeah, like bet of the week, it is hard. Like there probably isn't really, like I think Donegal beating Derry is probably the one that I think could happen potentially. And that's just because of how good Donegal have looked this year. And in fairness, like you're looking at Roscommon, but they're not in form. Cavan could beat Tyrone. There's no doubt about that, but there is a division separating them and the rest. I just couldn't see happening. So in terms of player of the week, I'd probably go Brendan Rodgers, you know, for Derry. Like, I just think he'd be such an integral player. Like Derry are probably going to have so much possession of the ball. They're going to be looking to make things happen. And I think Rodgers could be very, very well integral to doing that. So there we go. We'll go ahead and wrap this up here. Seamus, thank you very much for jumping on. Everyone make sure to check out on Cluiche when you get a chance as well. I think we'll be live over there tomorrow as well, discussing some sort of solutions and issues.
Ideas, yeah. Okay. Do you want me to pitch it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I'll pitch it. So tomorrow, myself, Aaron, and Matthew, so me from On Cluiche, Aaron from Gaelic Games Fan TV, and Matthew Hurley from Gaelic Stats, and we are going to do a video in which you call it the ideas that we think could be solutions to certain problems that we currently face in the GAA. So we broke it down into five different categories. We have category one, respect and the fans' experience. Category two, the structure of the GAA. Category three, rules and discipline. Category four, the GAA calendar. Category five, content and promotion around our games. So we're going to do a live show. Anybody that wants to get involved in the comments, it's going to be a show where we're going to very much look at the live comments and get involved and everything like that with the people that are chatting to us and just shoot ideas around and see. We have ideas down. We're going to discuss them because I don't know about you, Aaron, but I'd say you're on the same page. It's one of my pet hates, people that just point out problems and don't try to come up with solutions. We've come up with a few good solutions and a few good ideas from other sports, from the LGFA, from Camogie, that I think we should just implement into Gaelic games.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So yeah, we'll be on live at 5 tomorrow, I think. So make sure to get yourself on over to on Cliffe, and we'll be there to discuss it all. So yeah, cheers anyone who's tuned in. Hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't already, and we'll catch you all soon.